Thank you. Care about flag, sir.
Oh, dear, not another charity. What is it this time?
A most worthy cause, sir. The Fund for Destitute Millionaires. Give us freedom to poverty.
Well, I must say you've done very well. Only one left in your tray.
That is an excerpt from Under Two Flags. Now in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, if anyone happens to be at a loose end, why not consult your doctor? Then I'm afraid we'll give you some idea of what to expect from a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Al Cove and Rose Arbour, the Conservative Club Cossack Dancers, Fred Bear, Lady Veronica Verypistol.
Like a singer, she flares up.
To continue, Lonnie Campoli, Dame Myra Cogan, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening. Welcome once more to Beyond Our Ken. Well, that's my usual formal greeting, but this week, in order to extend a special welcome to those who hear this program in China, may we say...
You have either been listening to or have just missed a sort of radio show which is...
Thank you. Now reading from left to right again. Let me tell you some of the things that have happened since last week. On Monday, my bank manager sent for me and said, "Now, look, Mr. Horne, I've been going through your accounts." And I said, "Well, somebody's been going through it." And he said, "The fact of the matter is you're rather overdrawn." And I said, "Well, I've been having a lot of late nights." And he said, "I'm sorry, but I must point out that you're a few hundred pounds in the red." And I said, "Well, now, what was the position a few weeks ago?" And he said, "Ah, now, then you were a few hundred pounds in credit." And I said, "Well, I didn't worry you then, did I?" Mind you, he's not a bad sort of chap. Had a lot of worry, too. His wife ran off with a check. But that's a different story. On Tuesday, now, Tuesday, yes. Well, I noticed some of my book covers were beginning to fade, so I decided to make jackets for them. Now, if you're thinking of doing the same thing, always make sure you cut your paper large enough so that you can make ample folds and thus be sure of a good turn-up for the book. Anyhow, I soon got fed up and settled down to reread one of my old favorite books. It was George Du Maurier's classic story about Sven Gali, the old man who hypnotized a young girl called Trilby and made her a great singer. I suppose you could call it a sort of Perry Como. Well, you could, I wouldn't dare, personally. However, stand by now as we bring you another version of this famous story.
We present The Power of Svengali, or I Could Have Tranced All Night.
It is Paris in the 19th century, and in that well-known district, 1 over 1V, sometimes called the Latin Quarter, a gay bohemian party was in full swing. One of those mad parties that goes on until the drink gives out or someone gives in. Among the group of contemporary painters and musicians was a young, handsome English student. All the girls would say, "Thank heaven for the young, handsome student." And the young, handsome student would say,
"Thank heaven this isn't television." My name, by the way, scarcely matters. John scarcely matters. Watch what a gay, cosmopolitan crowd we were.
Oh, I'm going to have another drink.
Hello, what is this here?
Probably Van Gogh trying to be funny again. François, didn't I see you at the Moulin Rouge last week?
Yes, my first visit. I went with one of our famous young artists.
Gauguin?
No, once is enough.
Ah, yeah. It was then that a young and beautiful model walked into the room. Her name was Trilby. Vital statistics, 6 7/8. The youngest member of our group, another English student called Peter, was strangely drawn towards Trilby.
Looking back, it might have had something to do with her steel suspenders and the magnet in my hip.
Immediately, they became friends. And later, I noticed them eating together.
Quite nice to be alone for a while. Can I get you something else to eat?
No, thank you, Peter.
What's the matter? Don't you like brown wings of soup?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do, but it doesn't go awfully well in sandwiches.
Oh, Vera, how lovely you are, Vera.
Children.
Are you sure you've had enough?
Yes, thanks. I'm full to the brim.
I know we've only just met, but I fall madly in love with you. Oh, my darling Panama, a voter. Hombo. What is your name again?
Tildy.
Oh, yes. Look, perhaps we'd better if I just called you Hattie. Oh, my darling. I'm full of love. I'm full of ardor. I'm full of passion.
I'm full of brown Windsor soup sandwiches.
Oh, hello, John.
Oh, you're laughing at me.
You'd worry if we didn't, wouldn't you?
Oh, Tilby, I know it's madness. Why don't we get married?
Married? But, Peter, that's impossible. Oh, we've no money, no prospects. You are just a struggling young artist, and I am only a struggling young model. What could we do?
Stop struggling.
Oh, Peter, do you know what I've always wanted to do?
No, but I hope it's what I've always wanted to do.
Peter, I haven't told anyone this before, but, well, Peter, please listen to me. I've always wanted to sing.
Well, go ahead and sing then. Come on, get it off you, if you'll pardon the expression.
No, I mean properly, professionally. Oh, I know I could be a big success, but there's just one thing that's stopping me.
What's that?
I've got a terrible voice. Oh, it's only a... What is it? That man over there. The strange old man with the long flowing hair. Who is it?
Well, it certainly isn't me.
It's Bengali, the hypnotist. Why?
He's been following me around.
I have nothing to do with him, I beg you. He has strange and mysterious powers, and I've heard it said that...
Yes?
He can open a tin of beans without a tin opener.
Peter, how uncanny.
Keep away from him. The world is full of young singers under his wicked spell.
Well, I know one who isn't. Jill Day.
Things you always wish you'd done. This is the moment, so go and have fun. This is the moment to live. This is the moment you dare not delay. To wait another day may prove too late. This is the moment, so don't hesitate. The world is a great big miracle and part of the miracle on earth. I cannot help but be lyrical. I've just found out there can be no doubt. This is the moment to sing. I'm gonna catch Mr. Gloom unawares. Gonna banish all my cares somehow. The moment to live is now. This is the moment to live. This is the moment to go try your wings and do the things you always wish you'd done. This is the moment to go and have fun. This is the moment to live. This is the moment you dare not delay. To wait another day may prove too late. This is the moment, so don't hesitate. The world is a great big miracle and part of the miracle on earth. I cannot help but be lyrical. I've just found out. This is the moment to sing. I'm gonna catch Mr. Gloom unawares. Gonna banish all my cares somehow. This is the moment to live. Yes, the moment to live is
jolly nice, Jill. Now it's me who's hypnotized.
Look, that old man, Svengali. He's coming over.
Well, he better not give me the eye.
Good evening, my dear. I am Svengali. What an enchanting person you are. Even from far across the crowded room, your vibrant beauty pulsated through my veins.
Well, I do have that effect on some people.
Not you. Egghead.
Captain, means me.
It is Sylvie of whom I speak, my dear. With my help, you can become a great singer. I, the great Svengali, will teach you personally. I, who put the bait in Beethoven. Horror in oratorio.
But Svengali...
You doubt this, but I assure you nothing is beyond our skin. You could be another Dame Clara Butt.
But what?
But I don't know if you can sing. Let me hear you. My dear, you have a lovely coloratura.
I say, what's your language, sir? Pay no heed to him. He's evil, evil, evil.
You do not understand, my friend. She has the chance of a great musical career. You have nothing to offer, but nothing. Music is not your life. What do you know about the marriage of Figaro and Madame Butterfly?
I didn't even know they were engaged.
You see...
Just a minute, Svengali. You could be doing this to further your own end.
I do not deny the girl's success will also help me. I have said to myself, if you want to get ahead, get a Trilby. Come, my dear.
No, Trilby, I love you.
It's no good. She cannot resist me. Look into my eyes. Trilby, look at me. Deep into my eyes. What can you see?
They're watering.
Take no notice. One of my pupils forgot to put his hand up. No, I am your master.
You are my master.
You will come with me.
Wait a minute, you can't.
It's no good, Peter. She's got a nasty touch of fluence.
Well, my dear Trilby, will I ever see my Trilby again?
Yes, Peter, I'm sure you will. Mind you, she'll be a bit old hat, but still.
What will become of her?
I can't go on, Svengali. You drive me too hard. I am nothing but a puppet.
Nonsense! Just highly strung. Now, gaze into my eyes again. That's it. Once more, you're underneath there. Now, ding.
For cigarettes, that there's a mistake.
Hold on. Something's gone wrong.
Yes, your spelling's atrocious.
Again. You are Alma Cogan.
I am Alma Cogan. Here I go again.
Enough! Just in time. I've changed my mind. Wait. I've got it. Yes, you are the Luton Girls Choir.
I'm a fox.
Never mind. We better stick to opera. Now, look into the eyes.
Bengali's fiendish plan worked. Trilby became an international opera star. She could only sing under the influence of Svengali. At every performance, there he'd be in the front stalls with those wild, staring eyes. Anyone would think he was at the window, wouldn't they? Trilby was a fantastic success.
Paris, Milan, Berlin, New York, and finally, London.
I, too, was in London at the time, searching for the lonely and desperate Peter. I did find him eventually, and what a pathetic figure he was.
Life is purposeless. The bluebird of happiness has flown away. My mind is numb. My heart unresponsive. My life has gone out. I tell you, I'm a broken man.
Oh, no, Peter.
I'm broken.
No. Not broken. A little cracked, maybe. I have good news for you. Svengali has brought Trilby to London. She's here, Peter, tonight. You're coming with me to the Opera House.
John, down the front. Oh, look. There's Svengali.
Well, look who's here. Just in time to see your beloved Trilby. In a moment, I am going to hypnotize her into singing a new aria.
Aria?
I just said so, didn't I? Here she comes now.
Oh, my darling, she looks so cold and expressionless. What have you done to her, you swine? You
sit down in the front door. You don't understand. It's my Trilby.
You should have left it in the cloakroom.
I would like to sing an aria from the new telephone operetta. My dialing hand is broken.
Now, look into my eyes.
Oh, no, you don't.
Let go of me, you fool. Sing, thrill me.
Barney!
All right, Svengali, take that. Ha! He's collapsed.
What's happened? My voice. I can't sing.
I've broken the spell.
Good for you, Peter.
What's going on, Doc? Peter, it's you.
Coming, Trilby.
Oh, Svengali, your evil spell is over.
No, I am not finished yet. I'll hypnotize you.
No.
Look into my eyes.
Oh.
Yes, you.
No,
you,
no,
you
not me, Svengali, not me.
You shall be my new musical prodigy.
But
Look deep into my eyes. That's it. Now, sing.
What do you want if you don't want money? Wish you wanted my love.
And now I must definitely try and join the Fraser Hayes Four.
Oh, my darling Clementine, you are lost and gone forever. Dreadful, sorry, Clementine.
Now we're going to tell you what a pretty gal she was. Sing it out, Hattie, sing it.
Like she was, like a feather,
and her shoes were number 9. Pair and boxes were not tops, and sandals were.
Drove she darkness to the water every morning just at 9. At 9.
Struck her father upon a splinter. Fell into the foaming brine.
You are lost and gone forever.
Story of Clementine and the trouble she had back in 49. Not more of the story seems to be. Don't race duck. Clementine!
And so to the Kenneth Horn documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horn and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week, we present a close-up on the press.
And first of all, let's talk to a celebrated journalist, Sefton Birkinshaw. Now, what are you doing at present?
I was standing here speaking to you. That's not what you meant, is it? No, seriously, though, I'm still in the newspaper world in Fleet Street, you understand. For many years, I was special correspondent to the Daily Gossip. Then I was transferred to the Foreign Service as press attaché to the British Embassy in Switzerland. More recently, I was parliamentary correspondent, spending most of my time in the House of Commons. But, unfortunately, I was forced to resign this position.
Oh, why was that?
I was suspected of being responsible for several serious leakages.
Now we're privileged to meet a remarkable old gentleman who for many years has been a lift attendant in the heart of the newspaper empire. Evening, sir.
Good evening to you, sir. Very nice of you to ask me.
We're delighted to have you here.
A lift attendant.
Now, tell us, if you will, sir, about some of the famous people you've come into contact with.
Well, sir, I've had all the famous lords in my lift one time or another. Let's see now, there was Lord Bagerbrook and Lord Westcliff and Lord Windermere. I was counting them up the other day, and it comes to something like 35 peers. 35 peers!
What has been your most memorable experience?
Oh, yes. That'd be when the lift got stuck between the fifth and sixth floors. And we was trapped in there for 12 hours.
We?
Yes, me and that very delectable debutante lady, Miss Bovo Linguist.
What a terrible experience.
On the contrary. Oh!
And what was the cause? What was the cause of the trouble? Some simple disconnection in the mechanism?
Oh, it wasn't simple. It took me hours to do it.
Well, it takes all sorts to make a successful newspaper, and even the most hardened editors and journalists have to accept that no paper could survive without advertising.
Hello, Rodney. Hello, Charles. Well, enough, you decided to join me in the advertising game.
Yes, I have, Rodney. I gave up journalism some time ago. Used to be with a famous news agency, but I had to give it up. Got Reuters cramp.
I don't know, Fleet Street wag.
What about you? Weren't you a sports writer? Racing, wasn't it?
Yes, but I knew I'd never make a course correspondent.
Far too refined.
Anyway, we are doing a good job of work now, aren't we? I mean, advertising is essential for any newspaper.
Absolutely essential, Watkins. Sometimes I do feel this slightest tinge of regret.
Oh, naughty. Well, why, Charles?
These sandwich boards are a bit heavy.
Finally, we turn to our panel of experts in Horner Armor who are ready to discuss a random question on this week's topic, which comes from...
Timothy Taunton. What is the team's opinion of the stand of the British journalist?
Thank you, sir. A two.
Well, I'm a great reader myself. I mean, give me a good magazine, a comfortable armchair, and a large bottle of scotch, and you can keep the magazine.
What's your opinion of our press?
Well, every morning I take a copy of each newspaper when the fellow isn't looking.
You mean you don't pay for it?
No, I believe in a free press.
Well, now, Ditheridge, let's hear from you.
Well, of course, I maintain we have a very high standard of journalism, particularly mine. Furthermore, a fundamental constitutional principle of freedom of speech is jealously gone. Everyone has the right to say what they like, and I will strenuously defend their right to do so.
Well, I disagree.
Well, belt out then. We don't want to hear what you've got to say.
Now, look here, my fine tailored friend. You very likely put my hobnailed boot right across your back page spread.
All right, you two. Now then, Fanny Haddon.
Well, I think our newspapers could be a lot stronger. They just don't keep the fish and chips warm enough. I was only saying to Johnny the other night.
Oh, shut your cake hole.
Yes, that's right. As a matter of fact, we were trying out a recipe from one of the Sunday papers for a French compote. The ingredients were root vegetables, a few dandelions, bay leaves, old potatoes, grass and water.
You just old nit, that's a compost.
Oh.
All right now, Fallowfield, what's your view of the British press?
Well, I think the answer lies in the soil. I mean, dirty, filthy muck. That's what it is. Vile, cheap, gutter rubbish. Speaking on behalf of us simple country folk, we don't want to read about such things as wicked orgies. We want to be there. I make no bones about it. I'm looking for someone.
All right. Well, that's all for this week. There'll be another Horn Armor next week, and the subject will be confectioners' wills. Do they leave hundreds and thousands? Also, next week's program, A Climber of Palm Trees. We'll give a talk on getting up to date. And there'll be an excerpt from the new Albert Finney play about a bath accessory called Loofah. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horn saying goodbye for now, leaving you with this thought from a listener aged 13 in Gloucester, who says, can a gamekeeper be fined for eating a poached egg? Good night.
You might have been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horn, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marston, Bill Pertwee, Jill Day, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennell. Eric Medeman wrote the script, and the show is produced by Jakes Brown.